name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you all. Randy, thank you very much for reading that, as always.
You know,
as I was listening to the roll call of plans, I thought, I know the church has grown a lot in the last couple of years, but I don't think every new member is Scottish. But that's the only way that I can explain how that roll call tends to get longer and longer every year. I think we listed the whole names of the whole Scottish phone book. But it's such a wonderful celebratory day. And there's a lot happening today. It is the Feast of St. Andrew, our celebration of the Kirkan of the Tartans. It's our celebration Sunday, culminating the end of our annual giving campaign. We're celebrating our shared ministry together, our shared support of that. And it's a great thing that we have all of these things to lift us up today, because the gospel lesson, the good news, is a bit of a downer. It's terrible today. There's a little bit of an irony saying, the gospel of the Lord, thanks be to God, after you hear Jesus say, the world is going to end. You all know that I tend to start off my sermons with a joke. And I had a really tough time this week trying to find a joke about the end of the world, bagpipes. You would think there would be jokes out there about bagpipes. There are not. So, no joke. But, you know, it's the end of the world as we know it in this lesson. I feel fine about having it. So what is Jesus saying here? Jesus and his disciples, they get together, they're on their way to Jerusalem. Maybe to understand what Jesus is saying, I can try to put this into a very brief context. All right, in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus begins the story in Mark way up north, in the northern part of Israel, in Galilee, near where he's born. And he's baptized by John the Baptist. And the whole story of the Gospel of Mark is Jesus gradually making his way down to Jerusalem, where he's going to suffer on the cross and die. So in this gospel lesson, 13th chapter of Mark, Jesus and his disciples finally arrive in Jerusalem. They're there for the first time. Jesus' disciples have all grown up in Galilee. It's rural. There's probably not a single building more than two stories tall. And they arrive in Jerusalem, standing in front of the temple. And the temple, we know, at that time, was one of the wonders of the world. Huge, magnificent, practically brand new, having been rebuilt by Herod the Great. It was a massive structure, practically without parallel in the world at the time. It would have been an extraordinary thing to see. The temple was also the place where it was believed that it was God's physical presence on earth. If you wanted to get close to God, then you made your way to Jerusalem to the temple, and the closer that you could get to that Holy of Holies in the middle, the closer that you were to God. So it must have sounded bizarre for the disciples to show up with Jesus to Jerusalem, to be in sight of the temple, and for them to say to Jesus, Jesus, look at this place. This is amazing. Who could believe that we could build something like that? And to hear Jesus say, it's all going to be torn down. All those stones, not a single one of them is going to be left on top of the other. It's all going to be knocked down. What an odd thing for the Son of God to say. But Jesus doesn't stop there. And actually, we only hear the best of it, of the 13th chapter of Mark this morning. Believe me, it gets a lot worse. So at the end of this, Jesus says, look, before God comes back and makes this world right, here are the things that are going to happen. There's going to be war. And then Jesus says, don't be alarmed. There's just going to be war. And all this must take place. Nation is going to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. And this is just the beginning. Jesus goes on to say, there's going to be suffering like we haven't seen since the beginning of creation. The sun is going to be darkened. The moon is going to lose its light. The stars are going to fall from the sky. But then Jesus says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with glory. The Son of Man is going to send his angels, gather the elect, and draw them back into the presence of God. So the word gospel means good news. How many of you feel comforted by this? Hey, everybody, guess what? The world's going to end. It's going to be miserable. I have no idea which side you're going to be on. You better hope you're on God's. I'm in. I'm done. Good luck with that. Let's play the bagpipes and celebrate St. Andrew. Maybe drink some scotch, because that's all we've got. Yeah, I know some of you in here. But you know, the gospel is not always comforting. God is not always comforting. Sometimes God challenges us. Sometimes God frightens us. Sometimes God speaks the truth to us. And sometimes we don't want to hear it, because the truth is not always comforting. The truth does not always make us feel warm and fuzzy inside. But hope does. And the gospel that we hear today, this idea of the end of the world coming, it may not give us comfort, but it gives hope. Because let's face it, sometimes life does not leave much room for us to find comfort. Sometimes life seems to be way too full of suffering, way too full of pain, way too heavy on the war and the earthquakes and the fire and the famines, and way too light on comfort. But when life feels that way, we still have hope. You know, as we celebrate St. Andrew, one of the things Randy said is Andrew is a great saint to have because his biography is porous. In fact, we have no record of anything that St. Andrew ever said. So, St. Andrew is a great saint. We can make him say whatever we want. But it's Wikipedia St. Andrew's Night and see all the people that claim him as a patron saint. The one thing that everybody has in common that claims him as their patron is suffering and pain and trials. Our connection as the Episcopal Church to the Church of Scotland was born out of our revolution, out of our freedom, out of suffering and struggle, and we looked back to the Church of Scotland to ordain some of our priests as bishops so that our church may continue and would flourish here in this country. It makes sense that a people that struggled and endured would go back to the country of Scotland, struggled and endured so much, to breathe life and hope into what we would be. On this St. Andrew's Day, we remember when we hear this gospel, God doesn't always give us comfort. God does give us comfort when you need it. God always gives us hope. And what's the difference? Comfort makes us feel good, makes us feel okay. But when we feel hopeful, when God breathes hope into us, into our world, into our community, into our lives, it propels us forward, draws us into the future, knowing that that future, even if we have to go through Armageddon, on the other side, God is always there, leading us into new life. As we celebrate our heritage, we celebrate our future. There's always new life in God, resurrection after death. That's the good news. Amen.